Welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and South Dakota is home to some leading science, and one company is SAB Biotherapeutics, which is based in Sioux Falls. This biopharmaceutical company leads the science and manufacturing of polyclonal antibody therapies, and Eddie Sullivan is the president and CEO of SAB Biotherapeutics. He's been named chair of the Food and Agriculture Section Governing Board for the Biotechnology Innovation Organization, or BIO, and we reached Eddie Sullivan in his office.
This is the industry organization based in Washington, D.C., that represents biotechnology in all of its aspects, including for biopharmaceuticals, for food and agriculture, and also for industrial environmental applications like ethanol.
And so your daily life is more in the medical side of innovation in biotechnology. How did you get put on the food committee?
Well, again, this is the food and agriculture section of bio, and it just so happens that the Animal Biotech Policy Committee of bio falls in the food and agriculture section governing board. And because our biomedical application actually comes from a food animal species, in this case bovine, there are a number of regulations that fall upon our research and our product that fall within, for instance, the United States Department of Agriculture, as well as the Center for Veterinary Medicine at FDA. And so a number of the issues that are dealt with by the Animal Biotech Policy Committee at BIO affect SAB Biotherapeutics, and that's why for years I have participated under the food and ag section rather than the other sections of BIO, even though I do participate on board-level committees and also have a number of interactions with the health section of BIO as well.
Okay, so this organization takes and helps develop the policies and then sends them out around the world for government agencies to adopt, or talk a little bit about how that works.
Well, certainly there's an advocacy component to BIO, and so BIO does develop policies and of course is involved in advocacy in both the national level as well as the international level. And then we do have, of course, representation across the states as well. So particularly through the state bio organizations, such as the South Dakota Biotech Association. And so there's all aspects that are dealt with at a very high level through the Biotechnology Innovation Organization in Washington.
And what level of trade comes in this discussion and committee?
Well, there, in as much as any discussions on trade are involved in our discussions at BIO, they are specific about the overall industry and not within any particular company. And so there's reasons for that. Obviously, as a trade organization, there are antitrust laws, and we talk about those extensively. In fact, all of our meetings at BIO open with an antitrust statement where there are certain things like markets and pricing and that sort of thing that cannot be discussed by a trade organization. And so we avoid those kinds of discussions. But in as much as a discussion has relevance to the overall industry, those are the places where we have our discussions and are able to develop policies and advocacy around topics that affect the overall industry.
And is it a united front, or is there a lot of debate that goes on?
Well, I would say that there's quite a bit of debate that does go on. Of course, there's a lot of consensus as well, because certainly things that would affect our company, SAB Biotherapeutics, as a small clinical stage biotech company affect many of the other companies that are involved with bio as well. And so in that respect, there would be a lot of similar need as far as policy development and advocacy. But of course, how to get to those or what those policies should be, there's a lot of debate until we reach what essentially is a consensus.
When working, just step back for just a minute and talk about how many people are on this board with you and from how many different countries?
Well, on the Food and Ag Section Governing Board, there are 14. And primarily, we are all from the U.S. or U.S.-based companies, or companies that have a significant presence in the U.S. So, for instance, some German companies like Bayer or BASF also participate. But bio, as an organization, is primarily a U.S.-based organization, although it does actively pursue advocacy internationally with trade partners and that sort of thing. And so that is the makeup of the Food and Ag Section Governing Board. Now, the overall bio board is quite large. It's nearly 100 people. However, the board also has what's called the Executive Committee, as any board would, and there are 18 of us who participate specifically on the executive committee, and those include the chair and vice chair of all of the four sections of bio, which are, of course, human health, food and agriculture, industrial environmental, and then another section that's called emerging companies.
Well, talk a little bit about the biotechnology industry in the United States then, and how is that evolving and how is that growing?
Well, certainly over the last, I would say, 25 years, there has been significant growth in biotechnology across the world, but most especially in the United States. And the United States has always been a leader in innovation and continues to be. And this includes all of the areas that we work in bio. And you might ask, well, why is there a food and agriculture section in an organization that also deals with human health and biopharmaceutical development? And really, it's because the processes involved are very similar across the board. And the issues that the technology faces are often very similar. And so bio has what we call a big tent kind of attitude about that all of the applications of biotechnology are an important toolbox for healing, fueling, and feeding the world. And that's really what the organization is meant to promote.
Well, it takes biology, right, to make cheese?
It certainly does.
Right?
That's right.
And so, you know, I mean, but talk a little bit then about what biotech in agriculture really looks like today.
Well, of course, in a state like South Dakota, I think that our farmers and ranchers are very familiar with the idea of biotech crops. I think something in excess of 90% of crops in South Dakota come from biotech traits. So it has become a very important part of agriculture across the board. As we have been able to develop crop varieties, for instance, that help us as far as protection from weeds and from other pests and drought tolerance and a number of other traits that help farmers and producers to to be able to feed the world. And as we look at a world where in 2050 we expect to have at least 9 billion people, and we know that we have to increase our production on either the same or less arable land than what we have now, we have to have all the tools available to us in order to be able to feed that population. And those are the things that are important to the food and ag section of bio.
So take a minute and talk about SAB Biotherapeutics. And you said you're in the clinical stages now. What exactly does that mean?
Well, we have started clinical trials where we're looking at the safety of these human antibodies that we are producing in genetically engineered animals, where we are making human antibodies, and antibodies are the proteins in our bodies that help us to fight disease. And so SAB Biotherapeutics works in four different areas. We work in infectious disease, so things like Ebola and Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome and other, like influenza, for instance, those kinds of infectious diseases. But we also have research programs in oncology and in inflammation and in autoimmune disorders. And so we can use these antibodies that we get from these animals to help treat people in these areas. And until now, the only source of human antibodies, human polyclonal antibodies, was humans. But now we can get them from these very special, very valuable animals. They essentially become plasma donors two or three times a month and live quite normal and quite happy lives. And all they are asked for in return is to donate their plasma three times a month.
So. And you get a larger quantity, correct?
That's right. Right. Well, because the animals are very large, we can collect a much greater amount of plasma from them than, for instance, if a person goes down to a plasma donation center and gives plasma. Of course, they don't give as much as our cows do because they're much bigger animals.
Okay, so a clinical, you're in clinical study, so you're actually producing some vaccines and testing it. Is that a fair thing to assume?
Yeah, and these are not vaccines. It's related to vaccines, but it's not vaccines. This is what vaccines are actually vaccinating us with, like a component of the flu virus, for instance, so that our bodies produce their own antibodies. This is actually producing those antibodies in the animals and then purifying those antibodies and then putting the antibodies into people. And the reason that it's important we have both vaccines as well as what we would call passive immunity, in other words, passively transferring antibodies from these animals into a person, to help them fight disease. The reason for that is because not everybody responds to vaccines in the same way. And so that's why you hear sometimes people say, well, I got a flu vaccine, but I got the flu anyway. Well, that happens sometimes. Now, not everybody responds to the flu vaccine the same way, and not everybody responds the same way every year. And so therefore, even if you've heard of people that have gotten the flu after getting the vaccine, that doesn't mean we should give up on the vaccine. What it means is we all need to get our flu vaccine. But for those that get seriously ill, for instance, from the flu, our hope is that one day our antibodies will be able to help them to recover and not to have any chronic issues that would come from having that disease become something very terrible.
And so how long is the clinical phase in your testing before you're going to market?
Well, Clinical testing takes a long time. This is a part of the FDA review of any drug that is used to treat people. And these clinical trials can take anywhere from 3 to 7 years before they're completed and before you get a what's called a license, essentially, from the FDA to sell that product on the market. And so we're still a ways from that stage, but it's taken us a long time to get to the point where we're testing these antibodies now in people. And so there's a very precise process that we're going through in order to prove both the safety as well as the value in treating disease that our antibodies would have.
Well, this used to be Hematech, is that right? Is that it's been merged?
The technology was formerly, the technology was formerly a part of Hematech and now has passed to SAB Biotherapeutics, so that's correct.
Okay, just making sure I'm on the same page. So when you were studying biology as a young man, what did you ever think this is where it would take you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I went to my 20-year high school reunion some years ago, I won't tell you how long, I actually talked to some of my friends from back in those days, and they asked me, well, what do you do? And we were all asked, and I explained to them what they do, and I remember one of them saying, so you mean you're actually doing what you told us you were going to do in high school? And I said, well, maybe I didn't have exactly the idea of what I would be doing, but yes, I'm doing pretty close to what I wanted to do.
Really? This isn't
That's
something
right.
that evolved for you. You always knew it was a possibility.
Well, I always knew that I wanted to work with animals. I wanted to work in the medical field in some aspect. I wanted to be able to do something that would benefit society and would benefit people. And I certainly believe that's what I have been involved with. And of course, I'm not a lone person here. There have been many people that have worked on this project through the years, and many that continue to work on it. And you know, I think we're very proud of the accomplishments that have been done to this point in our development.
Tell me one thing that people listening really need to know and understand about biotechnology.
Well, I think that the one thing that they need to know about biotechnology is that biotechnology essentially accomplishes the same thing that we have been doing for millennia in developing plants or animals or medicines or other things. But given the tools that we have today, we are able to do those things in a much more precise way, a much more thoughtful way, so that we can accomplish the things that will best be able to help, again, that idea of healing, fueling, and feeding the world.
Eddie Sullivan, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.